In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is by God's grace alone, shown in last Sunday's parable of the master who pays out wages to his servants, not according to their earnings and their work, but as a generous gift at his own expense. Self-righteousness is the enemy of grace. Salvation is by the Word alone, which is the subject of today's gospel, the parable of the sower. God speaks. The existence of the universe rests on this truth. More than that, this universe has its continued existence from God's speaking. This is the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was. The one who continues to say, "Let the mountains stand firm," and they do. And this God declares you righteous, justified in his sight on account of the merits of Jesus Christ for you. His word alone imparts salvation. God speaks and we are able to hear him. He communicates with us. He imparts himself to us in his words of promise. And that's why the second sola of the Reformation is often not said as the word alone, but just as our banner has it, Scripture alone. Because when we speak about God's all-powerful word, it is necessary to know where and how God speaks it to us. Otherwise, we are very likely to mistake our words and thoughts for God's words and thoughts. Now, whether that word comes from a fancy church official like a pastor or a pope or a council of popes, or whether it is just from you yourself, just from deep in your heart, whether you're hearing a literal or a figurative word spoken to you, voices. None of these are the word that we're talking about. None of these are the word which alone saves, because these are just human words. Thus, the principle of the Reformation is that the Scriptures, not human traditions or human inspirations, the Scriptures are the only infallible rule and norm for faith and life. Our thoughts and our words about God, even about ourselves and this world and our life, they all mean very little unless they come from Him first. Our theology, our judgments about truth and life can always be faulty, but God's are not. That's why our theology, our words about God, have to be words that come first from Him. And so we confess that these Holy Scriptures, the writings of the prophets and the apostles, they are God's reliable, truthful word. They are not man's word, even when human pens have written them down. And they are not filled with human errors, as most human writings are, because they are God's word. And since they are God's word, then they're not a relic of history that needs to be updated or changed to fit with today. Now, this principle of Scripture alone, it's often misunderstood in a way to mean this, to mean just me and my Bible. Or sometimes it's characterized as the right of each person to interpret the Bible for him or herself. But the point, rather, is that the Scriptures, not us, the Scriptures are clear. They do not require an individualized interpretation. They put forward their own interpretation. And where some passages of the Bible, it's true, I kind of think today's epistle might be one of them, seem pretty obscure. We might not know what they're talking about. Other passages shine all the more clear. And they, in fact, interpret the rest of the Bible for us. What is alone about the Scripture is that no other light is needed to hear them. No other interpretation needs to come and explain it to us. No other revelation is needed for salvation than what God in the Scriptures, in the writings of these prophets and apostles, has given to us. If anyone then is going to interpret truly, then what they are going to be doing is just what you have learned. They are going to be confessing. They are going to be saying the same thing as what the Scriptures have already said. This is what it means to stick to God's Word alone, to the Scriptures alone. And thus the parable, where the seed is the Word of God, and the seed is good. It accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. The Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. They are, as Psalm 119 says, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And they communicate to us with God's own clarity, so that in them we have communion with God. Now, Jesus says something in the midst of today's parable that seems to fly in the face of that clear Word of God. Because he tells us the reason that he so often speaks in parables, that is, in these little stories and analogies that show us what the kingdom of God is like. And the reason that Jesus gives doesn't sound to me like clear communication. He says, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others, what I say is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear." Now that's not how you and I use analogies. We illustrate our points to make them more clear. Jesus says that he uses sermon illustrations, apparently, so that his point would be hidden from many. This is, though, what we mean when we say that the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, are clear and they communicate. If you know English, you can read the Bible. And if you know Greek and Hebrew, then you can read and you can understand it even easier and perhaps more precisely and more wonderfully in the original languages. And then if on top of that you know some history, then even all of the weird names and all of the old places will make sense to you. But the clarity of the Scriptures is even more than this. It's that the Bible itself is the clear thing. It is the bright thing. It is the lamp. And it illuminates us. It interprets us even. Jesus says that in his parable. He says that the mysteries of God's own kingdom are being revealed to his disciples. So what then is it that keeps some, others, from hearing and from understanding? What keeps them mere parables to them, so that hearing they do not hear? Well, the problem is not that the Word of God is dim for them, it's dark. No. They are the dark ones. Consider what John says in the first chapter of his gospel. Men loved darkness more than light. So when the light of life and the light of men came to his own did not receive him. And indeed, this is the point of all the parables. This parable of the sower being the very first one that Jesus told, and the one that he explains Christ is revealed to faith. But to those who will not see Jesus Christ, then these are just interesting stories. I mean, nothing could be simpler to grasp than to say, a vineyard master went out to hire people to work in his vineyard. Or, a sower went out to sow. Some of you are sowers. But, how many are unwilling to hear that the Lord is good to reward according to His mercy and not according to works? They are unwilling also to realize that in the very telling of this parable of the sower, Jesus Himself is sowing the Word of God, casting it abroad, casting it onto their hearts, which are hard, or rocky, or prickly. And two verses after our gospel today, Jesus says, "Be careful then how you are hearing." Today's parable would mean nothing if God's word were not truthful, trustworthy, clear, and sufficient, if the seed were not any good. And yet this is a parable much more about those who have that word, even whose hearts receive it, and yet still, in 3 times out of 4, fall away. The word of God can be snatched away when it falls on a hardened heart that doesn't care. So be watchful, dear Christians, that you are not indifferent to God's word. But listen deliberately. Listen reverently. Listen anxiously even. And seek God's gifts often. The baptized dry out and wither. Their faith withers away if they no longer have joy in hearing God's word, but only joy in being entertained or amused or spoon-fed what is familiar and likable or popular, so long as it is not nourishing, profound, or worst of all, challenging to us. Our faith often is shallow, and yet we think that we are so strong, so tough. But the test is when suffering or even a slight discomfort comes about. And then we find that we don't know how to console ourselves and others with God's word, but we only know how to lash out or fall away. Most of all, we are strangled. Strangled off by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. Or if we don't have them, all the worse that we are craving them. If God's truth cannot apply directly to our pleasures and increase them, my, how quickly we get bored. Our prayers, then, are choked off with worries and obsessions with these riches and pleasures. And hearing, we do not understand, or much care. We're impatient, we're immature, we're fruitless. Repent. This parable is a warning to Christians. It's a warning to preachers and to you. It does not, however, warn you so that you would despair and lose hope. But it warns you that you would repent and that you would be fed. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has a mouth to eat, let him eat and be fed. He who has a heart to be cleansed, then let it be cleansed. As rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and does not return void, but makes the earth sprout and grow, so does the word of God come from his mouth. The seed is good. The sower is good. And he has caused his word to take root in each of you. God's word is like no other seed that you have ever planted or seen on this earth. Our dirt does not make the seed effective. Rather, it is the seed that makes the soil fertile, that brings forth the growth. This is a word that can till up the stoniest ground, clear away the heaviest heart-shaped rocks and boulders, chase away the most vicious crows, and sustain you even through the thorniest of times. And this is the mystery of the kingdom of God, revealed in his word alone, confessed clearly in the scriptures alone, and without which there is no hearing at all. The one who is being sown abroad is the seed. The seed born of the women. The seed promised when thorns and thistles first sprouted on this earth. The seed whom the Father sows into the ground to die so that he would not be alone, but would rise and bring forth a harvest 100-fold. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. And if you have him, you have grasped the parables. Thanks be to God, our Bibles have put the proper heading on this gospel text. It is not the parable of the dirts. It is the parable of the sower. All eyes then are on the seed and on the one who plants him. And as the old collect prays, grant, Lord, that we may so hear him, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest him. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. Jesus gives himself to you. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Mysteries that are now revealed in this Savior and in his clear and trustworthy word. Take care then, dear saints, how you are hearing. For to you who have, more will be given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.